Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the largest online nursery in the USA? With more than 10,000 plant varieties and millions of satisfied customers. I have their trees and plants at my home, and they're fantastic. Have you had your fair share of landscaping woes and wasted weekends at crowded nurseries? Finding fast-growing trees will be like stumbling upon a hidden treasure, believe me. With fast-growing trees, it's different. From fruit trees to houseplants, they have it all delivered right to your doorstep. Plus, their plant experts are always available for advice. And here's the best part. This spring, they have up to half off on select plants. And my audience can get an extra 15% off by using promo code Bill at checkout. So please go to fastgrowingtrees.com, use promo code Bill at checkout. Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
Welcome to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Fannie Willis update. All we have for you is that the judge, McAfee, is going to make a decision whether to boot Fannie Willis off the case late this week or early next. Okay? And obviously everybody is going to be curious to see how the judge handles it. But I wanted to find out what the political climate is in Fulton County, Atlanta. So joining us from there is Dr. John Felipe Acevedo, teaches at Emory University School of Law. Nice to have you, doctor. So to me,
thank you so much for having me.
I'm an outsider, but I know Fulton County, been there many times. To me, if I'm the judge, based upon what I heard in the courtroom, I boot Ms. Willis off the case because there's just too much extracurricular activity on a very important case like this that is a total distraction and opens up avenues of appeal by the Trump lawyers. So I boot her. Am I wrong?
Yeah, so Judge McAfee really suggested that he was going to consider that as well. So last Monday, before any of the witness testimony began, he said he was worried not only about actual conflicts of interest, but the appearance of conflicts of interest. So I don't think you're wrong. I think this is something on his mind. I don't envy his decision. But yeah, in criminal law in general, we don't want the appearance of impropriety.
Okay. So judges have to make these decisions all the time about right and wrong, legal, illegal. So I'm sitting there, again, not a lawyer, never want to be a judge, but I'm seeing two people, the district attorney and her top investigator, involved in a romantic relationship during the investigation of Donald Trump and 19 others for vote interference. I'm seeing $700,000 paid to the boyfriend through Fannie Willis's office, and I'm seeing Ms. Willis take at least 5 luxury trips paid for by the boyfriend. To me, that opens up an investigation, because if she didn't reimburse him, that would be illegal, correct?
It's interesting. So here, the receiving of gifts itself is not, it's the failure to disclose. And it's not clear she disclosed to anyone that she received these gifts. If she reimbursed them, then obviously there's nothing to disclose. There is no gift. But under Georgia law, if she received gifts and didn't disclose and didn't reimburse, then she would be running afoul of the Georgia disclosure rules.
Okay, so here I am, I'm the judge again. And Ms. Willis comes in and says, yes, I reimburse for these trips in cash. I'm going,
yeah, and
nobody does that. And if you did in cash, let's see your withdrawal slip from the bank, because these trips were into the thousands of dollars. She says, I didn't withdraw money from the bank. I had it under my bed, because that's what black people do. I'm sorry, doctor. I'm not buying that as a judge. I'm not buying any of it at all. How about you?
Yeah, so this is an interesting point she raised. It certainly flies in the face of anything most of us do in 2024. I myself struggle to have $10 in my pocket to tip someone if I need to. Almost everything we do today is in credit cards, on our phones. The only part of it that kind of rang true was that her father was a 70s activist. And if you look at the activists from that era, a lot of them did hoard cash in case they had to flee the government on short notice. Again, does that translate to a district attorney in present-day Atlanta? It's certainly out of the norm for most people in their everyday experience, but that's when it's going to be left to the judge to determine if he believes her. Her father took the stand to back her up, so we'll see.
No, the father doesn't know. He's just being a theoretician. Now, there is word that the judge is under heavy pressure because of the political climate in Fulton County. It's a very left-wing county, very heavily Democrat. And that if he sanctions Ms. Willis, that his career could be in jeopardy. What do you think about that?
It's interesting, and this kind of hits to your point early on. He's having to balance not wanting to get overturned on appeal. One thing judges don't want to do is go through an entire trial and then see an appeals court throw it out and have to start over. It's a massive waste of their time, money, effort, irritates the jurors. So he really isn't a bind here. You know, he doesn't want to prematurely sanction the district attorney's office. But on the other hand, to let it go all the way through and then have it overturned because he didn't remove her is a huge cost as well.
And what are the odds, in your opinion, being, you know, a legal scholar, if she stays on the case and it goes through and there is a conviction, what are the odds of it being overturned?
From the evidence we've had now, again, assuming no new evidence, I think the odds are not great for being overturned. The odds of it being appealed are absolutely. I think any defense lawyer would appeal this. It'd be, I think, malpractice not to appeal it. If you're the defense counsel, you have to zealously advocate for your clients. And that's whether it's a former president or just an average citizen. So I think here, again, even that review is going to cause issues. And again, you mentioned the political climate. I think the judge is mindful of that in two ways. On the one hand, they're elected officials. They are going to run for re-election. On the other hand, you don't want to have a criminal trial and conviction in which the majority of people believe it's unfair, because that'll undermine the entire criminal justice system.
Yeah, but that breaks down on ideological run. Final question. If this goes ahead and Fannie Willis does prosecute and she gets her convictions, 20 of them involved, and say she gets the lion's share, including Mr. Trump, it'll go to federal court after state court. If state turns down the appeals, it definitely go into the federal system with all of this stuff, would it not?
Yeah, the all criminal defendants can appeal if they have a federal issue. to the Supreme Court, and this would be a federal issue. It would be due process rights, that there was double dealing, financial improprieties would be what the defense would argue, and that most certainly could go to the Supreme Court.
Okay, so wrapping up our discussion, and I want to thank you for being very straightforward, by the way. It's a good discussion. If you're a judge and you know that, you know all of the problems that Ms. Willis has caused herself. Nobody else caused these problems. She did it. You move her out. If you're looking out for the cause of justice and the state of Georgia. That's my conclusion.
And I think that's one of the two we can reach. I mean, you think about it, this is an own goal. I don't think we can describe it any other way. Even if she's allowed to stay on the case, the jury pool is tainted against her to some degree. There's folks here in Fulton County already calling for review of her other cases, particularly the supporters of Young Thug, which is also a RICO indictment. So in that sense, the damage is done. In many ways to this case.
I just want to, I want to clarify to the audience. There's a guy named Young Thug, became a rapper in Atlanta. She went after him. Obviously, his people don't like her. So they're using this to advance his cause. Hey, doctor, thanks very much. We really appreciate it. I can't make a prediction on this. I mean, I know what the right thing is. You get Fannie out of there. But the politics, boy.
You're listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Who is there for the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who is helping our nation's homeless veterans? And who is helping our nation keep its vow to never forget 9/11? I'll tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The foundation's In the Line of Duty programs honor our nation's heroes and their families. That includes its Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs. The foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings and barbecues, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is helping to educate kids in kindergarten through 12th grade about our nation's darkest day, 9/11. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. This charity keeps its word and honors our nation's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
Did you know every day is a perfect day for peace of mind? With American Home Shield Warranty, you are covered for unexpected breakdowns like leaky faucets or faulty water heaters. Choose a plan that fits your budget and rest easy knowing repairs and replacements are taken care of. Simply contact American Home Shield when an issue arises, and their trusted pros will handle it according to your coverage. Don't let worries about appliances and home systems weigh you down. Celebrate the reassurance of protection. Don't worry, be warranty. For 20% off plans, visit ahs.com/bill. For more details, see ahs.com/contracts for coverage details, including limit amounts, fees, limitations, and exclusions. New Jersey residents, the product is being offered is a service contract and is separate and distinct from any product or service warranty, which may be provided by the home builder or manufacturer. Joining us from L.A., Aaron Cohen, founder of Cherry's Counter Terror, specializing in training law enforcement in violent situations. Can you explain why we don't know what happened at the Waffle House in Indianapolis and the Kansas City parade? Can you tell me why we don't know what happened after all this time?
I think it's exactly what you're leading into, Bill, which is that we've got political restraints being put on the ability to be able to deduce exactly who was behind the crime. I believe this was gang related, which means that it's potentially black on black. It's a high possibility it was black on black. The Midwest, Bill, has been in a gang war that's been developing for the last 20 years. So let's look at Kansas City. Kansas City, straight up, you had two black miners, black on black, opening fire at each other at this monster parade celebrating the Super Bowl. My question was, where was the security, given the height of all the domestic threats that are coming in from all over the world, from, you know, Iran to domestic terrorism here with the active shooters that are popping up. Where we're at in 2024, intelligence and information, regardless of who are committing these crimes, that information needs to be released. It needs to be streamlined. And there can be no politics involved whatsoever. Otherwise, like you said, you're never going to get to the root of the problem. You're not going to get more patrol on the streets. You're not going to get these gang task force funded with more money, which they need, not just in Kansas City, Bill, in Chicago. They just wrapped up a six-year investigation. Again, gang on gang, south side and west side Chicago. A monster gang problem over the last 20 years. It's been growing and growing. The problem is these liberal cities aren't being honest about it. And what it's doing is it's affecting the frontline patrol and police officers' ability to be able to deal with it head on. And you cannot politic when it comes to crime, especially with this expanding gang
but they are.
Problem.
They are, and there's nobody except me reporting it. I don't know anybody else reporting this story this way. Now, some stats. African Americans comprise 13% of the American population. 2022, 52% of all homicides in the country were committed by African Americans. Okay? 56% of murder victims, African American. Again, 13% of the population. So you're just basically letting this, as you said, letting this go. There's no will to confront it at all. But if that Waffle House, that had been a white guy shooting that poor black woman, you know it would be everywhere in this country. Is that racism?
Well, it's certainly a form of placism. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it. You're sort of nailing it. Again, if you're not honest about what it is that you're seeing with that shooting in Kansas City and with the shooting at the Waffle House, then you're unable to directly confront that threat head on, which is violent crime.
Absolutely.
And you just read that.
And it's worse than that. One of the ways that New York City confronted violent crime that worked under Giuliani and Bloomberg, the mayors, was stop and frisk. Because the cops know in their beats, in their precincts, who the gang guys are. Everybody knows that because they got tattoos, they run around, everybody knows. So they would stop them, frisk them, and find a lot of guns, and then prosecute them on gun crimes. But stop and frisk, gone. So after that left, the rise in violent gangs doubled or tripled, and so did the violent crime. But there is no movement to bring back stop and frisk. Now, as a counterterrorism expert, do you believe in stop and frisk?
Not only do I believe in it, but it's one of the critical layers of preventative measures that law enforcement needs. Look, Bill, you know, just because I come from the counterterrorist space, let me be clear. I spent the last 15 years working as a deputy for a sheriff's agency on the East Coast, a nice-sized sheriff's agency, where I trained that agency in counterterrorism, but also active shooter response, which is that highest threat of response to violence. And what we saw in Kansas City was an active shooter. The fact that it was black on black, or the fact that it was crime related or gang related, which is drug related, you still have the same effect at the end, the same violent outcome. Stop
sure.
and frisk is
it, it terrorizes the community. I just want to be clear. We don't know yet if these minors were members of gangs or if they're black. We heavily suspect that is the case, but we don't know. And I want everybody to understand it. Final question for you. When you put ethnicity, skin color, equity, whatever it may be, over honesty, then you have danger, public safety danger. That's my opinion. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You have to be brutally honest about shaping a mosaic to be able to look at the threat so that you can develop policies and procedures, Bill, to be able to combat those threats in order to protect these communities. That's the bottom line. I agree with you 100%. Law enforcement has the capability, but to be able to really do the job the way Giuliani did it, he was very effective. Stop and frisk is a must. And being honest about the genesis of those threats, to be able to categorize those gangs, to be able to look at that as a drug problem, the Mexican Sinaloa cartels with their fentanyl, with their crack cocaine coming up from the south, all that gets distributed by these baseline gang members. And that has to be looked at honestly. Otherwise, you're going to have another decaying gang city. And the problem with that is it's going to spill over and it's just going to get worse and more dangerous.
Yeah, innocent people are getting killed now like crazy. And neighborhoods are being terrorized and destroyed. I don't know of anybody doing this. I don't know of anybody in the country. I don't know any governor, any mayor, anybody trying to get this under control. Mr. Cohen, thanks very much. We appreciate your time.
This is the No Spin News Weekend Edition.
Recession and inflation are here. Gas, housing, and everyday goods are up, way up. And you want to be ready for any situation. So what would you do if there's no food on the shelf? Arc Heirloom Seeds are here to help. Did you know 99% of seeds sold today can't reproduce? With heirloom seeds, you only have to plant once. Then you can grow year after year, giving you and your family stability and security because things are getting crazy out there. Our all-in-one seed kit provides everything you need to grow your own food. This premium seed kit has over 65 varieties, 50,000 seeds, and stores for 15 years. You'll also get our exclusive seed guide to make growing a no-brainer. Arc Seed Kits is a family-owned and operated business and the most trusted name in the nation for over 15 years. Our mandate is to get heirloom seeds into every home in America. Go to arcseedkits.com today and get free shipping by entering promo code podcast. That's arkseedkits.com, promo code podcast. Get your seeds, get prepared, get growing. arcseedkits.com.
Attention. If you owe the IRS, this is an important announcement. COVID relief is over and the IRS is ramping up like never before, sending out millions of collection letters to start 2024. Do you owe $10,000 or more or have unfiled returns? Now is the time to act. The IRS can garnish your wages, seize your property, and they can even take your home or your business. Don't let the IRS take advantage of you. It's time to call Tax Network USA. Their team of experienced tax lawyers has already saved over $1 billion in tax debt for their clients. They know how to negotiate with the IRS and can help you too. Visit TNUSA.com or call 1-800-245-6000. Again, that's 1-800-245-6000. Don't wait until it's too late. Take control of your tax situation today with Tax Network USA. 1-800-245-6000. Call now.
You may know that we have a foreign news partner. I've mentioned it before. It's the dailychatter.com. And we work with Daily Chatter because we don't have our own foreign correspondents, and they do, to accumulate information all over the world. And if you go to dailychatter.com every day, there's a very readable dispatch. And you'll learn a lot. I do. I get it every morning. Okay. The guy who runs it is named Phil Balboni. And I used to work for Mr. Balboni as a local reporter slash analyst in Boston at WCBB-TV, a classic television station. All right, Phil, I got to ask you a series of questions and I want your best take on it. So okay, all over the internet, it's Russia's now winning the war against Ukraine. Is that true?
They're beginning to advance on the front lines in some key places. So they're not winning yet, but they are definitely, they have momentum, whereas the war was stalemated for quite a long time. So the Russians took Bakhmut. Many of your viewers will remember that name. And now, just last week, they took Avdiivka, another kind of strategic town, and they're attacking in a couple of other places along the line, which is 600 miles long. So I would say Russia is not winning, but they are moving in the direction of winning. Yeah.
Okay. What is the goal for Putin? Total domination of Ukraine?
I don't think so. I think he wants to keep what he's won. So Crimea, which Russia took in 2014, along with part of the eastern part of Ukraine, but getting Crimea was a huge thing for Putin personally, and I think he wants to protect that.
All right, so he wants a treaty that says, we're going to stop this war, but wherever Russia is in Ukraine, Russia gets to keep.
Well, he's made a lot of advances since 2014. So now the territory that Russia took,
the eastern part of the
2 years ago, when the war began, this Sunday, by the way, so it's the second anniversary of the war already. They gained a lot of territory. I think Putin would like to keep that. I don't think he feels now that he is any way he is going to take all of Ukraine. That's not going to happen.
Okay, so he doesn't want to occupy the whole country. That would be, because he's taking a lot of casualties. There was a British report out yesterday that 300,000 casualties the Russians have taken. Do you believe it's that high?
I do. Yeah,
really?
I do. I think the Ukrainians have lost over 100.
Wow. 300,000 Russians, 100,000 Ukrainians. Now, as you know, there's a $90 billion aid package that's being held up in Congress now, although it did pass the Senate by a wide margin, 70-29, to send more material and to Ukraine. I think this will get through eventually, but the delay is helping Putin, correct?
It definitely is. Yeah. I mean, I think the Ukrainians are running out of soldiers. They're running out of weapons, ammunition, artillery shells. So every day, every week that goes by that more aid isn't delivered to them, they are losing. And I think that's been part of some of the recent setbacks that they've had is because...
Well, why aren't the NATO countries delivering ordnance and arms to them? Why is it all on us?
They are. No, the Germans are, the French have been, the Dutch, the Polish, and others have been delivering money and weapons. But it's not enough because, they stopped really preparing for Russia after the end of the Cold War. So believe it or not, they don't have enough weapons factories to build the artillery shells, the tanks,
make the bullets. So they can't manufacture stuff like we can. All right, let's switch over to Israel. So Netanyahu is a guy who's going to do what Netanyahu wants. It doesn't matter who pressures him. Am I right in that assessment?
Yep, you are.
Okay, so he's going to do what he wants. And the Israeli people want Hamas to be destroyed. But I don't think you can destroy the entire terror network of Hamas. Am I wrong?
You can't. No, you're right there, too. So, Israel, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, claim they've killed 14,000 Hamas fighters since the war began. Today is day 138 of the war. But, by all estimates, there were up to 40,000 Hamas fighters before the war began on October 7th. So, simple math tells you that there's a lot of people left to fight. And that doesn't include the young men in Gaza who probably would do anything to put on a uniform or whatever they wear and join the battle.
And fight the Jews. All right, so Netanyahu's end game then is getting the hostages back and killing as many radical Palestinians as he can. That seems to be what we're looking at.
It does. He does not have a game plan for when the war stops, when the shooting stops. And that is the biggest problem of all, is that, since 1948, the Jews and the Palestinians have lived sometimes in peace, sometimes in war, but they've never found a permanent solution. And until one is found, even if the fighting stopped tomorrow, it wouldn't stop forever.
No, I know. And when you hear this two-party state, there aren't two parties. There's Israel, but there's no Palestinian united front to negotiate with it. So
there's the Palestinian Authority, but they're very weak.
They're weak.
I mean, yeah, very
right. Weak. Right. Okay, so Iran is involved with Hezbollah and to some extent Hamas. And they want this war to continue forever, correct?
They do, because it's all to their advantage. They have all of their proxies in Lebanon, you know, in Gaza itself, in Syria in particular, in Iraq, in Yemen, you know, militias and others that they arm and support and train. So anything that ties down the United States is a plus for Iran.
Right. And they're not going to stop. I mean, they're going to create violent chaos wherever they are. And they are arming and financing Hamas, Hezbollah, as you mentioned, the Houthis in Yemen, and on and on and on. So that doesn't seem like there's any hope there at all, because the Mullahs are just not going to stop.
No. But, you know, there are good actors here. So the Saudis would like the fighting to stop. The Qataris, who are helping negotiate
for
the ceasefire.
Right.
And
bad
Egypt,
for business.
That's right. Bad for business. Egypt, you know, wants the fighting to stop. So there are people who will help and support and help to rebuild Gaza. But the Israeli government has to be willing to compromise, and they've not so far.
Okay. But they had before October 7th. And if it were the United States that had suffered, and we, you know, you saw what happened after 9/11. I mean, what we did. So you gotta keep that in mind. Why do you think the United Nations hates Israel so much?
Well, I don't think I would put it that way, Bill. I mean, I think the United Nations, do you mean the Secretariat or do you mean the countries that make
the countries? I mean, when you vote, every country votes for an immediate ceasefire with no hostage release or anything else. That works to Israel's disadvantage. I think the United Nations hates Israel.
I don't agree. I think that it's hard for us in the United States, which is one of the reasons why I created my company, to help people get more information about the world. The rest of the world is not supportive of what Israel is doing right now. And, you
but
know,
why?
29,000.
Why? After that horror on October 7th, you would feel everybody say, look, Israel's justified to try to get these Hamas terrorists out of there. Why aren't they sympathetic?
They are sympathetic to that. But, I mean, I'm sure you realize that 29,000 Gazans have been killed since the war began, most of them women and children. They have had 30,000 airstrikes. That's over 200 every day. 80% of all the buildings in Gaza have been destroyed or damaged. It's been I think by any measure, they've overdone it. Nobody objects or disagrees. They have a right to defend themselves. It's how they've gone about it.
Did we overdo it on Nagasaki and Hiroshima?
Personally, I think we did what we had to do there.
All right. So it's a debatable issue, but I still think that there is an anti-Israel bent inside the United Nations. Led by African countries, interestingly enough, South Africa and this and that. And I'm going, wait a minute, you guys are the underdogs in Africa. Israel's certainly the underdog. Why aren't you sympathetic? Do you have any perspective on that?
I think it's their colonialist history.
Thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I got it. All right, last question for you. You managed me for a little while in the 1980s. That must have been hell.
It wasn't, actually. I mean, I want your viewers to know that you were a damn good reporter, and you were a pleasure to work with. I mean, you're the same guy you were 40 years ago. very confident, smart, sometimes a little opinionated. Maybe you rub some of your colleagues the wrong way from time to time, but no, you were great. And that's why we've been friends 40
years.
Well,
there were two news directors that were outstanding, and I'm going to have the other one from WCBS TV on next week.
Oh, good.
Steve Cohen, you know him.
Steve Cohen, right.
But when I was working for you in Boston, and Boston is my second home, as you know. I mean, and when I go to Boston, everybody thinks I'm from Southie. I was different than most of the other reporters because I was brash, B-R-A-S-H. Right.
And I remember that. We let you do something we'd never let anybody else do before, which was to do commentary on the 11 o'clock news. That was a first.
That was interesting because the ratings went up because I was monitoring them. And the reason that you and Coppersmith, the general manager, put me on was that, and this is fascinating, after the weather in Boston, everybody turned off and go to sleep. But then you put this madman O'Reilly on at the end of the show, hoping that people would stay up, which they did.
But which they did.
The funny thing about it was that the reigning queen of news in Boston, Natalie Jacobson, huge anchor up there, she hated me. she would just look at me like, what is this?
I think you threatened her a little bit.
Well, I threatened everybody, but you stuck up to her. I mean, you said, no, we're doing this for the good of the whole newscast here, Natalie. Right. And I admired that very much because I knew she wouldn't even introduce me. She wouldn't even read the lead. Her husband, Jed Curtis, who was the co-anchor, had to do it.
Right.
So anyway.
We had an amazing team. I mean, I'm sure many of your viewers remember the 1980s in television news. It really was the golden age.
Apex. Absolutely. We had standards. You sent reporters all over the world. I remember Martha Raddatz, who's now on ABC. She sent her to the Philippines when they had the big uproar there. I mean, it was really, number one, a pleasure to work with you, which is why we've stayed in touch all these years. And number two, it had a tremendous impact, Channel 5 in Boston, on the whole New England area. That's gone. And I'm not quite sure why it disappeared. Last word, do you know why?
Because the viewers aren't there anymore. I mean, you know, people have migrated off to, 100 or 1,000 or a million different places. That 11 o'clock news that people watched you on in the 1980s, I bet the audience is maybe 25% of what it used to be.
Of what it was. Yeah, they're all scattered.
Yeah.
All right, Phil Baboni, it's dailychatter, one word, .com. Can't get much easier than that. If you're interested in foreign news, and it's straight. It's straight.
Yes. Okay? Nonpartisan. Yeah.
I want everybody to go and check it out. Thanks, Phil. Good to see you, man. Take care.
Great to see you, Bill. Be good. Okay.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/Bill. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/B-I-L-L.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.
Here's a gem from the No Spin News Vault.
All right, free speech. So is it under siege in America? In my opinion, it is. But this goes back a while. Let's go back to 1925, almost 100 years ago, when the most famous free speech case in history was evolving. This was about the teaching of evolution in public schools. Before 1925, most public schools were not allowed to teach evolution. They had to say God created everything, and evolution, no, couldn't mention it. Okay. Clarence Darrow, you know the name, very famous attorney. He takes up the case and he wins in Tennessee. Now, there is a book just came out yesterday called Trial of the Century. And it chronicles what happened in the most famous free speech case in America. It's written by Greg Jarrett. You may know him, Fox News legal analyst and a guy I've known for decades, who never seems to age. Jarrett always kind of got the little Dick Clark thing coming down. Doesn't really seem to age very much. And he wrote the book. All right. So congrats on the book. We hope people will check it out. Very important subject. You know, I write history books, and yours is a history book as well.
Right.
What was the most important thing you learned, you yourself, from the research you did for this book?
Well, I took a cue from you. When you write your books, you make them exciting. History can be exciting if you're a good storyteller. So, frankly, I tried to emulate you. The climactic moment in the trial is when Clarence Darrow, who's out of options, he knows he's losing, the jury's against him, the judge, an ordained minister, is against him, and Scopes is about to be convicted. And on the other side is the great fundamentalist leader, William Jennings Bryan, who's the prosecutor in the case who helped to get this law passed criminalizing the teaching of evolution. And what does Darrow do? He does something extraordinary, Bill. He calls the prosecutor to the witness stand, and the judge is mortified. You can't do that. But Darrow was counting on Brian's ego, who then stood up and said, Your Honor, I have no fear. I'm happy to give testimony to everyone about how the Bible should be taken literally. And so the judge is so worried the courtroom is going to collapse because, you know, there's hundreds of people packed in there. People are fainting because of the searing heat in the summer of Tennessee, 1925. So they move the cross-examination of Bryan by Darrow outside on a platform left over from the 4th of July activities. I have a picture in the book where you can see thousands of people convened in front of the platform, and there are these two lions. Two great orators, icons in American history, facing off. And in the end, Darrow utterly destroyed Bryan, so much so that a broken man, just days later, he lays down for a nap and he never wakes up.
Wow. I did not know
it's
that.
It's a remarkable story.
Yeah, so Bryan dies shortly after Darrow dissects him on the stand. Now, Americans believe that freedom of speech is, you know, sacrosanct in stone. But as we just used a setup, now if you speak your mind, even a responsible person like Samantha Ponder, you can be labeled and you can be condemned and you can be maligned and defamed. And there's nothing you can do about that, is there?
No, very little. And social media, as valuable in some ways that it is to blame. I mean, look, people can create fake accounts, fake names. They can say whatever they want, and they can't be held accountable. And, you know, frankly, neither can the platforms under current law. So, you know, what we're seeing in America today is the same free speech rights that are under assault, Bill, whether it is, you know, partisan censorship in political discourse or polarizing disinformation campaigns, classroom indoctrination, a punitive cancel culture under the guise of social justice, whereby, and we see this almost every day, conformity of thought supplants robust debate. And that's why this story, the trial of the century, is so important because, Bill, history is now repeating itself.
I agree with you 100% on that. And it even worse than what you say, because the corporate media controls information flow. Yes, you can go on the internet and you can hear private voices, but the mass media flow is now controlled by these large corporations who basically blackball and silence people they don't like. So when I was on The Factor on Fox News, as you well know, I was on Letterman and Leno and The View when Barbara Walters was there and all the network morning shows. I could spread my message, all right? Now you won't see anybody from Fox on any of those shows, all right? They're blacked out. They're canceled. Nobody, okay, can get access to that. Publishing industry, you want to write a contrarian book, don't go to Simon & Schuster, okay? Although they have a new CEO and maybe he'll change, and I hope he does change the culture. But it's very, very hard now if you don't conform to the leftist view of the world that the major corporations have embraced, you're shut down completely. And that's not freedom of speech.
No, Bill, it's not. And in many ways, I also blame the mainstream media have been witting accessories to the erosion and the assault on free speech. I mean, just look at their conduct in the phony Trump-Russia collusion narrative that they drove.
Yeah.
You know, they never bothered to verify or corroborate any
or
of the
apologize.
Information. Yeah, or apologize. I mean, they won Pulitzer Prizes. The New York Times, Washington Post for getting the story fundamentally wrong.
That says it all. All right, the book is Trial of the Century. I've started it. It's very interesting to read it. And particularly if you are interested in your country and whether we can make a comeback in the freedom of speech area. Do you think we can, Jarrett? Last question. Can we make a comeback and have robust debate, as you put it?
Well, I'm deeply worried that we cannot. We are seeing,
too,
you know,
far gone.
Books being banned, art shows being censored. It seems to be getting worse and worse. It reminds me of the Joe McCarthy Red Scare era of the 1950s,
yep,
in which if you dared to dissent, you were punished.
You bet. All right, Greg Jarrett, thanks very much for taking the time. Good luck with the book.
Thank you for listening to the No Spin News Weekend Edition. To watch the full episodes of the No Spin News, visit BillO'Reilly.com and sign up to become a premium or concierge member. That's BillO'Reilly.com. Sign up and start watching today.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.